Hi, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Kentertained? This is episode 114, and today's date is June 6, 2018. My name is Carrie, and I will be your host for the evening. And as always, I am joined by two guys who should have been in the Raw Tag Team Battle Royal, Kent and Russ. How are you guys doing tonight?
Very, very angry that we weren't involved in that. I mean, if the B team's in it, why can't we be in it?
Why was Drew and Dolph in it? Like, at no point were they in the barbecue, and I thought it was only barbecue members exclusive.
Well, maybe because they had to include all tag teams that weren't champion? I don't know. Did they drop any, not have anybody?
I'm just saying, I don't see Drew as a barbecue man.
No, me either. He seems definitely like a sheepish guy. Like, he'll eat haggis or something like that.
Wow, just going stereotypes here.
So here's another question for you guys in relation to that segment. Where is Authors of Pain?
Oh, that was the thing we were
I just watched a YouTube video about that. I will send it to you guys. It was pretty interesting. Somebody on What Culture Wrestling did like a 10-minute video about the whereabouts of the Authors of Pain.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
All right.
Hey, I mean, they're still doing better than Sanity.
Well, that's Sanity true. Might be because they can't use their name. That's what I've heard.
Per who?
Copyright infringement.
With who?
I don't know.
Yeah.
They didn't mention it. Ellie says there might be a copyright infringement reasoning holding Sanity back.
I call bullshit. Right. I call this on creative, once again, calling up people. Despite always saying, if we don't call somebody up, we have a plan for them. And then, No Way Jose, Authors of Pain happen, yeah. And Sanity happens. I mean, if you think about all the call-ups so far, only half of them, Ember, Andrade, and Drew, have actually had something.
Yeah. And Andrade's not exactly burning down the house.
But he's on consistently.
Yes. And he's about to have a good feud with Sin Cara. So baby steps, guys. Baby steps. All right. So for our first-time listeners and returning listeners who just need a refresher on what we're all about, the three of us talk about all things wrestling. This week, we're going to talk about our segments of the week from either Raw or SmackDown. Then we are going to conclude our three-part fantasy pay-per-view series where we put ourselves in the shoes of the bookers and come up with our own pay-per-view cards. Kent's turn is this week, so stay tuned to later in the show to go over his pay-per-view. But before we get started on it. Now, Russ, be nice. And before we get to any of that, recapping the week, Kent's fantasy pay-per-view. Kent, what is your moment of bliss?
So remember how, like, last week I had the big announcement that I was going to, like, get on track with all the past blogs and stuff?
Sure do.
Yeah, I've been playing BioShock. So BioShock took precedence over me actually doing any real work, and what a treat it's been for, like, the fourth or fifth time in my life, because I just adore that game. Been very happy playing that. It really makes me want to get a Big Daddy and Little Sister tattoo, and I'm pretty sure that will be my next tattoo sometime this year. And, yeah. I don't know. Just that game, it's probably one of the greatest stories told in a video game. Granted, like, the gameplay itself's fine, and the action's fine, but it's really never about that. It's always been about the storyline, and the whole franchise has been great, but the first one's really what kicked it off, and it still holds up. Like, when they redid it, remastered it, it looks beautiful. So, been having fun with that, and I also had chicken wing pizza tonight, so lots of good things happening, just not me doing what I said I would do last week. But hey, there's still more June to come, right? Yeah.
June has never been your bad month. You're always on top of things, aren't you?
I am on top of things, yeah. So, with that, that was my moment of bliss, really.
All right. So, guys, let's get into it and discuss our moments of the week from either Raw or SmackDown. Russ, why don't you kick us off? What was your moment of the week?
All right. Well, I'm going to take us through probably the best match of the week. only because I didn't watch the last match on SmackDown, so I couldn't honestly tell you. But KO versus Finn Balor. This was a really well done match. It wasn't a technical wizardry that we're used to seeing a lot of times, but KO isn't that type of person. He's more of a bruiser, a fighter, but he's a fast-paced bruiser and fighter. And he mixed really well with Finn, I thought. I thought those two did really well together. I liked how it ended. I'm a little bit rusty on it. I know, KO got disqualified. I kind of like that. The whole theme for the night, especially as Kent's segment, maybe we should start with Kent's segment because that really leads the rest of the night. I kind of felt that nuance was a part of it at the end. Why he finally, because how many times have guys been getting kicked in the corner a million times and the ref lets it go? This ref, like, after the third time, is like, all right, that's it, we're done, ring that bell, he's been disqualified. Well done for the whole overarching story for the night, I thought. But really good match.
Was that John Cone?
Yes.
The ref?
Yep, I believe it was.
Son of former tag team champion.
Yes. Overall, and I really liked the ending when Kevin Owens went up on the ladder, looked like he was going to do something awesome, and he's like, yeah, no. And then he got knocked off, and then Baylor did probably the worst coup de grace I've ever seen. Now, it could have been the angle, but it looked really bad. Like, it just did not look like anything. But Finn was really good. Kevin Owens was really good. I really liked this. And, Kent, I know you had a lot to say about it, so...
Well, first of all, I don't necessarily know if you can fault Finn on the coup de grace. That's not a move that you can ever really do from higher than the top.
True, road. I was going to say, I know it's really tough. Because he has to land soft and make
he has to, like, skid his feet just right. It's a really hard move in of itself from the top rope. To do it from a ladder, I think it's always going to be ugly to do it from any other height.
Yeah, and I think also the angle that they were so low with the camera, it must have been on one of the guys on the apron, or off of the apron, but looking up at the apron, because it was just so low that you could see he hit him but fell off. Like, it was too quick. A lot of times a coup de grace gives you a second and then he falls.
I think had they given us just a better angle, it would have looked better. Mm. With that being said, can everybody get off of Seth Rollins' nuts and give Finn Balor the fucking respect that he deserves for actually outperforming Seth this whole past month and a half? Because Seth's getting all the freaking love, and he's just fisting his old fisting buddy in some meaningless bullshit while Finn's actually putting on match of the week. How many weeks in a row now? Three? Four? Like, he's been consistently match of the night. But everybody's still on Seth's nuts. And I'm not saying this just to insult Russ. I know that's a little surprising. I know. But it's true. I read online all the time how great Seth is doing. The fuck? Finn is doing better. So the only thing that Finn doesn't do better is he doesn't have the mic skills. That's the only difference. But it's not like Seth ever really lit the world on fire and burned it down on the mic when he's been a face. He's a very average talker as a face. So, I don't know. More love for Finn and his abs, less for the hairy fire pants guy?
He has not worn those in at least 2 months.
Yeah, but you know what, though? If you showed me every pair of Rollins pants, I would say at least 60% of them are awful.
That's true. He does.
Like, he has some awful attire. Why? Why can't he just look the normal black?
Right? Is he in love with the Power Rangers? That seems to be his theme.
He has to be. I mean, that's the theme of every single outfit he wears out there.
Except for Burn It Down, and that was just awful. That should never
come. Yeah, that was ridiculous. I don't know what he was thinking there. Maybe Russ, maybe. What was he thinking there? You okay. Like the guy.
I know. I know this. This is from a special source. His niece designed those pants and said, "Uncle Seth, could you please wear these for me?" You know, and being the good uncle that he is, he couldn't break her heart. So he wore them for her a couple of times. And then he stopped wearing them, and then she came back to him and goes, Uncle Seth, you haven't worn him in 2 episodes, weeks. He's like, oh, I'm watching him. And he wore him one more time. And then he never put him back on again. True story. Facts.
Fair enough.
By the way, did anybody else see Dean Ambrose with the beard?
I have not seen that yet. I haven't seen it. I do want to mention something real quick to Kent. He's, for the past few weeks, he's right. Finn has been better, definitely. I think they're still on Seth's D, to call it that, is because it just seems like, I don't know, definitely they're probably supposed to, because Vince is pushing Seth more than Finn. But he's been very consistent for a very long period of time. Not saying Finn hasn't been, but Seth's been consistent since WrestleMania, basically. So, and even before that. Not that Finn hasn't been on, either. And I think Kent's right. Finn is much better at selling than Seth is. Seth had a good night on Monday night for selling, but overall, that leg thing, I just keep on going back to the leg injury, and literally at the last...
The most overrated freaking match of the year, by far, was that Miz versus Seth match. It just was overrated as fuck. And I can't give that a pass while Finn's busting his ass, giving us exactly the Finn Balor that we've been wanting since he's been on the main roster. We're finally getting it, and it's kind of just, I don't know, nobody really cares or is acknowledging it. It's kind of messed up, if you ask me.
A little bit.
Maybe he just needs to put some paint on and everybody will care again.
Yeah.
Well, I also think it comes to the point that Seth has the IC title and Finn doesn't. Of course, Seth is going to get
which was a mistake, right?
Yeah,
don't we still go back to that and say it's a mistake?
No.
Russ, even at my house at WrestleMania, you acknowledge that they should have given it to Finn.
Well, I think so, too. I think they should have given it to Finn and put Seth over on Raw or SmackDown and let him run over on SmackDown, but...
Russ, if they did that, who would he be fisting?
Nobody. Maybe he'll find someone new
then
to fist.
We can't have that.
Exactly. So, all right. So, that was our 2 cents on that.
All right. So, let's move on, guys, to, well, our namesake segment. It's time for the segment, Were You Not Kentertained? Each week, we take a segment and we decide whether or not we were entertained by it. This week, we picked the AJ and Shinsuke Nakamura contract signing. I, for one, guys, was very entertained by it. The only part was really Nakamura and his pen throwing skills. That was fantastic. It was actually a decent contract signing. I like the fact that we didn't get the usual, you know, cliche of the thrown table and the brawl and stuff like that. It was very unusual, but very well done. Kent, what did you think?
I got to see Dean Malenko. So that's winning. No matter how you look at it, it's always a win. I don't think it's too out of line to say this was the all-time greatest contract signing in the history of ever. I'm still giving it like a 3 out of 10. But compared to every other bullshit contract signing, this was short, sweet, to the point. I liked how Paige kind of had just a little role, but it worked. There wasn't craziness. The table didn't get fucking break. Shinsuke had a pen in his pocket all along. There was a lot of clever moments, actually, to this. And actually, it worked better not being out in front of a live audience. Had it been out in the ring, I think it would have been a lot worse. I do need to acknowledge something, though. Russ, I believe it was Dean Ambrose's niece, not Seth's niece, that designed the pants.
Oh, my apologies. I wasn't.
I understand, though, they're in the Shield, so it kind of feels like everybody's family. Yeah, but, yeah. Russ, your thoughts?
Oh, well, I'm going to say I was entertained, and for basically the same reasons Kent said. This is by far the best contract signing I've ever seen. And if you would put any other contract signing on, if we were entertained, I'd never say I'm entertained. This would be the first contract signing I'll ever say I was entertained in. But barely. Just barely. Because it was still garbage. If this was a 3 out of 10, every other contract signing, I think the next highest was a negative 6 out of 10. All right. So that's where I'm going with that one. I did like the mind games. And you're right. I think if this was out in the middle of the ring, it wouldn't have worked. Because the fans would have been too in, like, the fans would have gotten involved.
The subtleties wouldn't have been
right, exactly. And I think that's what really helped this. And it was different. Congratulations, WWE. Not your the best contract signing I've ever seen.
Can we get Gallows and Anderson and Bludgeon Brothers in a contract signing? Because I just think that'd be one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen.
Well, it depends on how they do it.
I don't care how they do it. It's just those four guys in the ring doing a contract signing. I don't see how that goes badly.
Well, like every other contract signing.
We've never had Luke Harper in a contract signing.
That's true. Well, let's not ruin him. Let's not ruin him. Let's not get him in the one.
Well, we know that WWE listens to our podcast, so maybe they'll do that next week.
Good job, Kat. Way to fuck that one up.
I take all responsibility for all things great that happens. Everything else, like Seth's pants, is on Russ.
All right. Kent, what was your moment of the week?
As if it wasn't obvious to anybody who knows me, finally, the powers that be listened to my pleas of finally giving Baron Corbin something to work with. And my God, what a great gimmick. This brings me back to like Chief Morley when Val Venus was like Bischoff's assistant. That's what this brings me back to. Only, you know, I mean, as good as Val Venus was on the mic, Corbin's really freaking good. Most big guys are shit on the mic. In the history of big guys on the mic, aside from Kevin Nash, most of them have been really, really pretty awful. So I found the whole thing funny. I like how the heels continue to just contact Stephanie just to go over Kurt's head. I love that whole running gag. I like the whole thing reminded me of the episode of South Park where Cartman became like Hall Monitor and he became like Dog the Bounty Hunter. That's all this whole thing reminds me of, and it's a win for everybody, especially Corbin, because they haven't given him anything to do since he's been on Raw. And instead, he just ruined tacos for everybody. That's a win.
Yeah, what I liked about the whole thing was starting with Kurt. They really did a good job. Kurt Hawkins actually did an excellent job on this. And this is where it started to sell me a little bit, because when Corbin came out and told him all the crap that he had to, you know, to stop him, I was happy. I wanted Kurt to get his 200th loss. Kurt, good for him. Congratulations. I hope they continue him. I hope they keep on giving a little bit of segment. I think it'll work. He's a great talent builder. And I think he can do a good job with that. So I really like that. But back to Baron Corbin, everything, almost the rest of the night, through the reffing, was affected by this Baron Corbin thing. I kind of like that. But Baron, can we all agree that Kurt Angle's stupid? Why would he let Bayley come out for, he didn't sanction it, or nobody sanctioned it, and he was okay with win? I have to side with Baron on this. Kurt, do your fucking job.
They've kind of made Kurt a really pointless lackey. Like, his character has not been good all year. I don't think, like, granted he was involved in Match of the Night at WrestleMania, but even his storyline leading up to it, like, oh, he had a flu. Like, everything they've given Kurt has been pretty awful.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I just...
Now, will this lead to Corbin being, like, a special guest ref? That's what I'm hoping this is all building up to.
I'm kind of hoping it goes to Kurt Angle versus Baron. I think those two could have a good match. Baron's really good with smaller guys, so... Not that Kurt's much smaller.
Yeah, but Kurt can't keep up anymore, I don't think.
No, probably not.
I think Corbin's actually the faster and better athlete at this point.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. But
still, that'd be a good match. It'd be fun.
But did they make Kurt look totally incompetent?
Oh, absolutely. But the dynamic, from a viewer's standpoint, works.
Yes.
It's enjoyable.
I had to let it go. Like, I was like, nobody in their right mind would let Bayley do that, what she did. Nobody. No, not even the refs should have been. The refs should have been like, who the hell are you? Like, it was stupid.
But more importantly, we didn't even get an update on Alexa Bliss's condition. I don't know how serious her injury was. I need to know these things.
Kat, it was completely fake.
Russ, I understand that wrestling is somewhat fake, but injuries do happen, okay? Owen Hart happened, and what we just saw Monday happened.
So
okay?
close so, to that, I know.
You know?
I don't know. Did you see the part where Baron talked to that ref afterwards? He goes, this job isn't for everybody. That was so good.
He's such a cocky, like, he talks down to so many people. He does it so well. It's, I think we're due for, like, a couple of months of really great promos by Corbin. It's not going to get him over in the ring whatsoever, but as long as he's interesting, once he gets back in the ring on a consistent basis, this will have done worlds of wonder.
I hope
hopefully,
so. I hope
for
so.
Him. And honestly, you know, Kurt Hawkins once again proved his value.
He, absolutely.
Such an underrated guy on the mic. In the ring, he's a very average to above average contributor.
He's a good builder of talent. People who need that win, I think. He can put up a good match against them. I don't know. I think they undersold his abilities here. So I hope they continue with it, though. Carrie, we haven't heard from you.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, this whole storyline with Corbin gives fans an opportunity to kind of see his personality, which if you read some of the message boards out there, that's where they feel he's lacking. They're just like, he has no personality. He's boring. This, I mean, just Monday night shows he's got a personality. He's got a character. He just needs to refine it. And I think this is going to give him the opportunity to do that. To your point on
Kurt Hawkins?
Yes, Kurt Hawkins. I was like, why am I blanking on his name right now? Yeah, he's great at putting over talent, and he did a really good job Monday night. I think it should be a weekly segment where it's like, is he going to get his first win? And we just continue to kind of dwell on the, well, he has now 200 losses. Let's keep going with that. I was just going to say, it's a good storyline.
Yeah.
It's a storyline that nobody really paid attention to until now, and it's kind of funny that way, but it's going to be great TV. It'll be a segment to look forward to.
I kind of hope that he looks like he's about to win, and they always come up with something that makes him lose. I can't wait for that.
I hope that he gets his first win, and the way to get the crowd completely into it is to have him against Roman and have somebody cost Roman the match and get Kurt his first win. The crowd will go apeshit over that.
He'll be the number one star.
I guarantee he'd have at least 20 signs the very next Raw.
Kurt Hawkins number one.
So I think that's the way to do it. You take somebody like Roman that the crowd is very shitting on and just give him that fluke win when Jinder interferes or whoever Roman's feuding with at the time. That would do so much for everybody involved, really.
Except for Roman.
No. It'll build more heat for Roman. He needs it.
He does need heat. All right.
So I guess I'll talk about my moment of the week.
That's a good
Mine
idea.
Mine kind of...
What's your moment of the week?
Well, mine's kind of a comparison, if you will. I want to talk about Ronda on commentary versus Carmella on commentary. We had both this week. Ronda is a disaster on commentary. Second week in a row, they put a microphone in front of her and it was disastrous. Was it me or did she repeat herself?
She repeated herself. That was, yes. You know what the worst part was? It was bad the first time. Having to hear it the second time was not good.
Well, my whole thing was, I don't even understand that. Why is she saying something that nobody understands?
Okay, let's say it's good. So the crowd knows people know what we're talking about. This is exactly what Rhonda, the commentary part went. So someone mentioned, I don't remember which one, said that the reason Nia chose Rhonda now is because right now she'd be ripe for the picking. Rhonda's response twice, once before the commercial, once after the commercial, was Only my husband would say that. Which leads me to the baby thing that Kent was talking about a couple of weeks ago. That's what she's talking about. She's ripe, as in, like, for baby making. That's what my thought process is on that.
But why would you say that on commentary? That makes no dang sense.
The fuck do I know? She's horrible.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, she did also have that great gun analogy that the announcers immediately switched subjects from.
I didn't hear that
one. Yeah, that was early on when she was like, something about the pressure and the barrel of the gun and the bullet, and I was like, oh. Well, she tried.
In this day and age, that's not something you talk about. You just don't.
How? On family-friendly TV? Yeah. No.
No, absolutely not.
How is she so bad on commentary? I've seen her give press conferences.
She will be amazing on commentary or on promos by the end of the year. I guarantee it.
Okay, because right now
I've seen her for UFC. She's not a horrible talker.
No.
But right now they're setting her up almost to fail, it feels like.
It does. It's bad. Like, this was bad. But what's the opposite of that, Carrie?
Carmella. For the second week in a row, we were treated to Carmella on commentary. And she was just fantastic. My favorite line, and I don't know what your favorite lines was, but she said basically to Byron, second week in a row here, I guess Byron, I should take over your job. And then she moonwalked across the announcer table. She is just fantastic. She's just leaps and bounds where she was a year ago, and I'm just so impressed with her right now. And I agree with what Kent said last week. If they don't keep the belt on her, they're doing something wrong. Kent, what do you think?
I think they're taking the belt off of her. That makes me very sad. I loved the line about how hot she was. I thought that was such a great heel line. Once again, I just want to always reiterate the point that when Enzo, Cass, and Carmella all got called up, not a single person in their right mind ever would have said, Carmella's the star of this group. And yet, here we are. Clear as day. There is no coming back. Carmella is by far the biggest star out of that trio. That's insane to me. But I'm happy for her. Very, very happy. There's somebody who clearly has busted her ass in the ring, on promos, developing a character. There's somebody that went from nothing, got serious about her job, and now we're seeing it. We saw hints of it last year around this time, right before Money in the Bank, when, you know, with her and Ellsworth. We're seeing over the year more next step in the evolution. That's all you can ask for out of a wrestler. Like, fuck, man, Zack Ryder, take notes. You've been in there for 10 fucking years and you haven't made that kind of leap yet. So, yeah, good for her.
What about you, Russ?
Yeah, here's what I'll say. I'm not going to try to repeat what everyone else said. I'm going to just say this. She annoys the shit out of me. And it's exactly what I'm looking for in a heel. Because I like her, personally. I think she's really good at what she does. But every time she talks, it's grating and so annoying. And I'm just like, oh my God, shut the hell up. I do want to see someone beat the crap out of her. So congratulations, WWE. You've made a heel that... a smark can appreciate, because every time she talks, I just want to punch her in the face. It's exactly what I want for my heels.
Was it just me, and it's not on topic necessarily, but kind of. Was it just me, or did it seem like this was the week where they gave everybody that was going to lose that Money in the Bank a win?
Yep, 100%. I thought that exact same thing.
Like, that was the theme of the whole week, was, hey, if you're going to lose, you're going to get a win this week.
Yep.
So Becky got her win. Yep. Gals and Anderson got their win.
Yep. That's where I thought it right there. As soon as Carl Anderson won, I was like, ooh, this is the week the losers are winning.
Yeah. By the way, Becky looked very good in her match.
She did. She always looks good, though. But I think
not always. Sometimes she looks very disinterested in the ring. Honestly, I think she gives up hope sometimes, and I don't blame her.
I think it's because her best friend was in there. I think Charlotte really helped on that one. So you got to give Charlotte a little credit.
Nope.
I knew that was coming. I was hoping you'd change it to Walking Dead. But he will talk about Walking Dead. I hope you would change it to Walking Dead.
I mean, this is the mid-season finale, and we're going to find out if Madison's alive or dead this whole season. We don't know yet, but God damn it. If that hasn't been storytelling,
Is Fear the Walking Dead going to take over for The Walking Dead?
Oh my God, yes. If they keep up what they're doing, this is like Game of Thrones level storytelling that they've done the past 7 episodes. It's been fucking phenomenal. They're not going to keep it up. I know they're not. But I can at least say we had 8 episodes of pure fucking brilliance. I can't be upset with that based on the downhill slide of the previous show.
Yes.
And everybody that's leaving. So, yeah, Fear the Walking Dead. Best show on TV at the moment.
And that was Charlotte's contribution to this podcast.
God, she is worthless.
All right.
Oh, you know, speaking of Rhonda, though, I will say this. She is awful right now. But, you know, Anana Russ absolutely loves her. And if you want to hear from Anonymous, check out what he's going to say in the blog, because he's got to have to say something about Rhonda this week, right? Will he finally give us bet? Every time he talks about her, he's on her dick.
He dropped the ball last week, though.
Well, at least...
He claimed that he didn't even see the Rhonda segment for being such a Rhonda diehard. What the fuck is that man doing? You're his mentor, Russ.
Okay.
Kick him in the ass or something.
I did talk to him about it. I said, why didn't you check it out? You know, put it on YouTube, whatever. This is what he told me. He said that he missed it originally, and he's not about to watch Rhonda on a rerun. I don't know what that means. I just told him, I said, it's just wrestling. Just watch the damn segment. And he said, no, I watch Rhonda live or nothing at all. So something with him and Rhonda is really weird. But I told him, okay, if you're going to do that, then you got to watch Rhonda. So he said he watched it this week, so we should be interesting on his take on this one.
All right. So, I think we should move on, and there's a question, Russ, I think you need to answer for all of us.
What is that question, Carrie?
Are they mild?
That's an excellent question. So, folks, as you know, I've chosen a new segment to go with, and it's called Are They Mild? I'm looking for that wrestling segment for the week, and it was just a wrestling segment. And I'm looking at it as a wrestling fan. Was this something that needed to be done? Or really just moved a feud along or whatever, are they mild? So I register this as mild, medium, or hot. If it's a hot segment, it's a wrestling segment we need to see. It's a mild segment, take it or leave it. This week, I chose the New Day interacting with The Miz on choosing who would be the member of New Day who would be in the ladder match for Money in the Bank. So... segment basically goes like this. New Day goes to The Miz, or The Miz goes to them. I don't remember. I forgot that part. My computer was acting a little bit wonky at that point. Or, sorry, my cable. I hate cable. But they choose. They go, okay, Miz, we're going to let you choose the member of the New Day. Just put your hand in here and pull one of the names. So he had to do it blindfolded, so he blindfolded himself. And when he stuck his hand into this hat... there was pancake batter inside of it. What a ruse. What a ruse. I, personally, for a wrestling segment, absolutely enjoyed this. This is what wrestling's about. Stupid humor. And it's an easy way to get a feud going, to get some guys hating each other. I loved it. This was hot. Did you guys have any questions or interest in the segment at all?
Oh, I thought it was hilarious. It was just great. And I love Mr. Bootyworth?
Bootyworth, I believe it was, yes.
Yes, that was it was just great. Those three guys are so, just so good.
And in Miz Place, a great business part was great. I have to give him credit for that. Doing that, knowing what's coming, that was good.
I like the analogy that somebody brought up online about that segment. It was basically Miz was the dean, and those were the fraternity brothers, and he was just like, I am so frustrated with you guys.
Yes, that's a good
I was like, that is so perfect. What did you think, Kent?
It was fine. I'm not sure. I hate to say I'm kind of getting sick of the pancake gimmick. I feel that they're going. If they haven't driven in the ground,
they are.
They are real because not that great of a thing to begin with. Like Bootios, there's a lot to do with it. I mean, it was became a fucking serious. Like it was a real thing. The pancake thing. I don't know. I don't know. I like them all together. They still entertain me. I just wish it wasn't about pancakes. And Russ, I have a question.
Sure.
If your segment is ever about TJ Perkins, could it ever get to a rating of suicide because that's the character he portrayed in TNA?
Maybe. It'll never be on TJ.
You had not thought about this. I hadn't,
but it's never going to be about to. Oh, man, you're right. There should be suicide. We should have up that level to the point where it's the pinnacle of wrestling. There should be suicide. You're right. But that's got to be the pinnacle.
Like that once a year segment that blows your
mind. It's got to be like, this was, I needed. You know what it was? Would have been that segment.
Last year's would have been grappling hook.
Yes.
Would have been suicide.
You know what else would have been suicide? Even though it probably shouldn't be. What's his name? Falling underneath the, Titus going underneath the ring. That's suicide. That's a wrestling moment that we can always... I agree with you. It's not doesn't happen very often, so we're not going to see it very often.
And we want to rewatch it over and just over for the hilarity.
Yep. It's got to be one of those. That's a suicide. That's a suicide. I agree with you.
After the Titus thing happened, I tell you that GIF. I watched that every time I needed a laugh.
I needed the commentary though too, because the commentary was.
Mwah. Oh, it was spot on. Spot on.
Because my favorite part is they're being so serious, and then they just stop. And it goes from there, and it's just great. All right, sorry. We got a lot to cover, so we need to move. So I'm going to say,
yes.
Say, Carrie, really quickly, how's your corner looking this week?
Oh, there's a lot going on in my corner. I will try to get to this as quickly as possible so we can get to Kent's fantasy pay-per-view. Let me wrap up Super Juniors. Let me preview Dominion, and we'll... be good to go. All right, so to wrap up the Best of Super Juniors tournament, we had a Block A winner. Tajiri Ishimori won Block A, and Block B was Hiromu Takahashi. Takahashi won the Best of Super Juniors tournament this year for 2018. Recommendation, watch the match between these two. It's 30 minutes of amazing action. If you like high-flying, cruiserweight stuff, this is amazing. And Takahashi accidentally breaks the Best of Super Juniors trophy at the end, and he looks so distraught over it. It's amazing. Just watch. If you get a chance, watch if you can find it. All right. We have Dominion this weekend. Coming up this weekend. Here is the card as it stands right now. This is probably the finalized card. In no particular order, because I have no idea how they're putting these matches. All right, first match up, we have Rey Mysterio, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Marty Scurll, Hangman Page, and Cody. I'm picking Cody and company to win this match. Next match up, we have Toru Yano, Tomohiro Ishii versus Zack Sabre Jr. and Minoru Suzuki. I will never pick against Suzuki, so Suzuki and Sabre win this match. Next matchup, we have David Finlay and Juice Robinson versus Yoshihashi and Jay White. I'm going with Chaos, so Yoshihashi and Jay White win this match. All right, now for the title matches. We have the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title match. We have El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kemaru versus Roppongi 3K. My pick is Roppongi. Roppongi 3K. Show and yo. All right. Never open weight title match. We got Hiroki Goto versus Mike Elgin versus Tai Chi. My pick is Goto retains. Next up, we have the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championship. We have Evil and Sonata versus the Young Bucks. My pick, and this was a tough one for me to pick, but I gotta go with the Bucks for the win. All right, next up, we have the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title, Will Ospreay versus Hiromu Takahashi. I like what they're doing with Takahashi. I'm picking him to win. Next up, we have the Intercontinental title match, Tetsuya Naito versus Chris Jericho. I'm picking Naito. I think Chris Jericho is there to put over Naito, and I'm completely okay with that. I think it's going to do great things for Naito. All right, next up is the big main event that pretty much everybody's talking about. We have the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. 2 out of 3 falls, no time limit. Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega. It is time, listeners. It is time. I'm picking Omega for the win. I really hope he wins this time. Dominion, as I said, is Saturday, June 9th. Start time, 3 a.m. on the East Coast, 12 a.m. on the West Coast for those with NJPW World. Check it out, listeners, and I will recap next week.
You know, I maybe it's me, but I understood about 4 of those people in this entire thing. I consider myself worthless in this segment that you call Carrie's Corner. Carrie, I'll wait till you tell me which matches to watch.
I can tell you right now, 2 out of 3 falls match. Well, that seems going like, to be...
You know what the worst part is?
That's like Russ saying, hey, watch a Seth Rollins match.
that was obvious. Now, the other thing is, too, 2 out of 3 falls matches, how many finishes are we going to see? It's got to be like 50, 60, right? Just out of each fall, right? They're going to get like out of each fall like 7 or 8 times, so...
I don't know. I rewatched last year's match in Dominion, and I only saw a kick out of 4 finishers for an entire 1 hour draw. 2 Rainmakers.
So 2 out of 3 falls, we'll see at least 4 for each. So 8 to 10. All right. I got you.
Well, you guys have to understand, Okada's finisher is the Rainmaker, Omega's finisher is the One Winged Angel. In last year's Dominion match, both of them worked themselves out of it. There were really no kickouts on those. You look at everything else they do, like the V-trigger and the tombstone pile driver. Yeah, you can kick out of those. Those aren't their actual finishers. Until you see the Rainmaker or the One-Winged Angel, that's not a finish. That's you're not seeing in their finisher.
Well, hang on a second. You're saying that the tombstone pile driver is not a finisher, and that's where your argument lost me entirely. If it's good enough for the all-time greatest, it should be good enough to win here. Am I wrong here?
I'm not disputing that, but in the way that if you watch the match, it goes. Omega does kick out of it. Or there's not really a pin attempt made. Like, you see it a lot of finishers, but the pin attempt isn't made.
Well, I'll just say it like this. I know I will not be watching it, except for a few highlights. Except for that match. I probably will watch that match, because it will probably be very good. But the rest of it is going to be pretty worthless.
You need to watch Roppongi, Russ.
Yes, Roppongi. The name sounds awesome.
Roppongi 3K.
They are great.
Are they?
Yes, they are.
And they do 9 deuce.
And they do 9 deuce.
Oh, all right. There we go. There's a reason. Okay, I got you. All right.
Yeah. They burn it down in my pants.
Yes. And in your...
All right, guys. Let's move on.
You know, speaking of worthless, we have to say one thing. Happy birthday, Carrie. I know it's a day late, but happy birthday. Now,
aw, thanks, guys.
All kidding aside, if we were to advertise this show with pictures, yours is the one that would get clicks. So, you know, all joking aside on that one, you'd win the clicks on that one if we had pictures. So, the prettiest of the group, happy birthday.
Aww.
The fuck does all that mean, Russ? Prettiest.
You're the sexiest.
All right, let's move on to the fantasy pay-per-view series, shall we, guys? All right, just to review to our listeners the quote-unquote rules for the fantasy pay-per-view series. The rules are very simple. Each one of us comes up with a fantasy pay-per-view. Each pay-per-view has 8 or more matchups. Those matchups will contain current and former wrestlers. Kent, you're up.
Yes, and I have a name for my pay-per-view even. I am calling it Memba Mania. And
Memba,
this should
you
be...
Memba?
Yeah, because we all go Memba this.
Memba Mania?
What I did is... I did the only logical thing that I had true knowledge of. I went back to the greatest time for most of us in wrestling history... And every match is a three-way dance, unless otherwise noted, between a member of WCW, ECW, and WWF. We're talking Attitude Era. So, that's how this is going to go. So, we're going to start off with three matches on the kickoff show. Stealing a little bit from Russ's clusterfuck. We're doing a tag team tournament to determine who's going to be in the grand finale tag team ladder match. So ECW, they put up the Eliminators versus the Dudley Boys versus the Impact Players, which was Lance Storm and Justin Credible. And I had the Dudley Boys winning because they are arguably the greatest tag team of all time. So I felt that was fair. Thoughts?
I'm okay with that. I now know how you guys feel when you listen to my corner. Because I have no idea who one of those teams is.
The Eliminators?
Yes.
That's John Cronus and Perry Saturn. You know who Saturn is?
I do know who Saturn is.
Okay. And Cronus actually teamed up with New Jack to make the Gangsta Eliminators at one point. That was a fun team. So. Russ? Yep. Keep going, Russ. Don't stop. Don't let that mute button get in your way.
So as I was saying, I think I would let the Dudley Boys is the right choice out of those groups. I really like Lance Storm, but yeah, they would. The Dudley Boys are way better. So.
All right. Moving on. For WCW, the three teams were Harlem Heat, Steiner Brothers, and this one was tough because they've had like good teams. Like Chronic was actually a really underrated team. But I went with the Outsiders, Hall and Nash, because they did hold the belts quite a few times. This was actually probably one of the closest matches I had because you can make an argument for any three teams, any of the three. I chose to go with Harlem Heat. I think they were the greatest WCW tag team. Personally. So I went with them and, of course, Booker T and Sister Sherry. I don't know. Russ?
Yeah, Harlem Heat was good. I had a tough time going against Kevin Nash.
Hall Nash.
Yeah, I'd have outsiders are tough.
They had matches where they exchanged wins, so I didn't feel as out of the ordinary to
have one win. Yeah, I probably would have gone the outsiders myself, but yeah, I can see it. It's not like you were crazy.
Plus, do you really want the outsiders in a ladder match?
No. Yeah, maybe at one point, but not that point.
Right. Carrie?
I like it. I'm good with it.
Okay. For WWE's representation, I went Edge and Christian. The APA and the Hardy Boys. You'd be shocked to find out that Edge and Christian won.
If you had said the Hardy Boys, I would have been done with your paper.
Oh, yeah. I will have rated that suicide.
I'm completely okay with that.
I don't think there's any other choice.
Yeah. Once again, so basically it sets up for the opening match of the Memba Mania, the tag team ladder match. So Dudley's versus Harlem Heat versus Edge and Christian. I went with the Dudley boys. Because they never got the win in any of the TLC matches. And they are arguably the greatest tag team. At least of that era.
Just a ladder match, though?
It was a ladder match. And we know Edge and Christian clearly usually dominate those, but I wanted to change it up. I feel the Dudleys were the consistently the only thing that could incite a riot during the 90s.
Yeah.
For that alone, I have to give them something.
My only concern is the Harlem Heat. I've never seen them. Like, I wouldn't see them in a ladder match. I can't see them doing very well with that, so I don't know. I don't know.
Stevie wouldn't have done
Booker
well.
Booker would have. I'd say Booker probably would have. I don't think Stevie. Stevie's too tall, too. And he wasn't very... he was athletic, but he wasn't like... I don't know. He felt clumsy to me a little bit.
He was a thicker dude. He wasn't nearly the athlete Booker was.
I like it. I'm fine with the Dudley boys winning. I can't say no to them. They're probably one of the best tag teams ever. So, yeah, I'm fine with it.
Carrie?
Yeah, again, I'm not mad at it. I'm good with it. It's something that would never probably have happened during the time period that all those teams were together. So, yeah, I love it.
All right. Moving on to a match that probably would go on much later in the night, but fuck it. I have it right next. I'm bringing War Games the way it should be. Not some 3-on-3 bullshit. This is true War Games. 4-man teams. You know who I got for WCW. It goes without saying, but in case you don't, I got the Horsemen. And, you know, it's Flair, it's Arn, it's Benoit, and it's Malenko. They are taking on D-Generation X. So Triple H, X-Pac, and New Age Outlaws. And ECW never really had a 4-man stable, but after doing some research, I found out that the Triple Threat, made up of Shane Douglas, Bam Bam Bigelow, and Chris Candido, once Shane Douglas left for WCW, I believe it was, at one point they had 2 Cold Scorpio. So, Shane, Bam Bam, Candido, and Scorpio. Which I thought was a great team, actually. Just maybe not the greatest in teamwork. In the end, once again, if you don't know me, you may not know the result of this, but obviously Chris Benoit won. You know, I had to. Benoit dominated Triple H, and really there's nobody that Benoit wouldn't have dominated at that point in his career.
So, which Ric Flair are we having? The Ric Flair from that era?
Yeah, yeah. Flair and Shane Douglas would just be beating the shit out of each other because they hate each other, and Triple H would just be like, oh, man, I can't wait till your daughter's older.
Right.
Yeah.
I can see it. I also can see D-Generation X picking this up. I like the other team from ECW, but I can't see them winning with the other two groups. I mean, DX back in the Attitude Era, they were fun, but they weren't top-notch. I mean, the Four Horsemen, two of the guys were top-notch. So, that's a tough one.
And they had the experience of War Games.
Mm.
A lot of them had been in War Games, so that's why I had to give them the experience edge.
Yeah, they had great up-and-comers at the Attitude Point, DX, so. And you didn't choose Sean, so.
Yeah, tease
yeah,
later.
Yeah.
Carrie?
I'm good with all of that. I like it. I want to see an actual true, like, Roar Games. Because apparently what we saw for NXT wasn't Roar Games.
It was not. On the network, just look up Roar Games and see some good stuff. Maybe not late era WCW, because some of those were really bad, too. But the stuff from the early 90s, late 80s, really good stuff. Moving on. I'm pulling the anti-Russ. I have a women's match. Only one, but I do have one. It is Francine versus Medusa versus Sable. And me and Russ talked about this before the podcast. I didn't know whether to choose Francine or Beulah, and I didn't know whether to choose Sable or Trish. But given the era that we are discussing, Sable, I felt, had more of an impact in that era. Trish's time was better after the Monday Night Wars ended. That's when she really had a run of dominance, where Sable was the top female for a good chunk of the Attitude Era. So that's why I went with Sable, and Francine Beale was really... It was tough. But either way, Medusa was actually a wrestler, so I gave her the win.
I was going to say, Medusa, if you didn't give Medusa the win on that one, I wasn't sure where you were going.
Yeah, she kind of had to. Like,
yeah. I mean,
she threw a belt away, and she was actually a legit badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that there.
Yeah, the problem is, if you'd chosen Trish for the Attitude Era, she's garbage. Not garbage, but she was definitely not what she could have been.
She was like a manager a good portion of that time.
So that's... I definitely see your Sable pick on that one. That's tough. I would not watch that match. That would be a pee break.
Yeah, I agree. Once I wanted to have a women's match, and that was the best I could feasibly come up with considering the female talent at the time. Most of the female talent was there for tits and ass, not for any kind of talent. Medusa was really one of the only ones there for talent.
Yeah.
So... But I did promise that I had to have a women's match, and unfortunately, that's what we got. But, moving on, we have a hardcore match. Hardcore rules. And, obviously, for ECW, I went with New Jack. WCW, I could have went with any... There are so many guys. Come find out, Brian Knobbs of the Nasty Boys had 3 runs with the Hardcore Championship. But, in the end, I went with Norman Smiley, who I believe is still working at the Performance Center now, the Big Wiggle. And for WWF, I went with Cactus Man Love Foley. And Foley won, but Natural Born Killers did play throughout the whole match. So we all won watching that.
That's a dream match of mine. I'd love to have seen New Jack versus Cactus Jack.
Yeah, I mean, Norman was just there to dance around, but Norman was... actually a good in-ring hand. He wasn't great, but he was a good in-ring hand, and he was entertaining.
I was going to say, he's really good to take some of the spots from the hardcore matches.
Yeah. I actually think that match wouldn't be as bad of a clusterfuck as I initially, when I wrote, I was like, just kind of laughed off. Actually, I think it would be good for a hardcore match.
Can I ask you real quick? I know we're kind of jumping a little bit off the subject, but not quite. Seems like you have a lot of gimmicks. Hard not to put gimmicks in, isn't it?
Actually, that may be one of the last gimmick matches of the whole night.
All right, we'll see. Well, they're all triple threat, so.
Well, obviously, they're triple threat. That's the whole point of Memba Mania.
I remember.
Gary, thoughts on hardcore?
I like it. I usually, hardcore matches, I don't like them. Just the level of violence
Fuggery.
In them. Yes, that too. It was a good. The winner is a good choice. I think all the choices in the match were good. I'm good with it.
Okay, moving on to a battle of the legit badasses: Masato Tanaka versus Meng versus Big Boss Man. This would just be a ass-kicking of a match, and I had Masato Tanaka winning. That man, in his matches with Mike Awesome, proved just how awesome he was. At that point in Meng's career, Meng was kind of a shell. He was still a badass, but he wasn't nearly as athletic anymore. And Boss Man got lynched during the Attitude Era. So, in all fairness, Masato Tanaka... Yeah, Masato Tanaka kind of won by default for me there. Carrie? I have an Asian person. You should be happy.
I have no idea who that is, and I feel really bad about it, but I mean, the only...
Oh, if you like good matches, look up Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka. Yeah. They blow away anything that you consider great.
Well,
they really do.
The only problem I have with them is the shitty quality of the video, and the ring is terrible. But other than that, I mean, it's fantastic.
Match quality is
match
quality is
on point.
Okay, I'll check that out. Just going back to the match itself, the only name I recognize is Boss Man, but I'm good with it.
Russ?
Yeah, My only problem is the badasses in the Attitude Era did not interest me as much. So it was really tough for me to get kind of behind this one. And Big Boss Man, since the lynching, I just never thought of him as a badass. So it was really hard. But
let's also not forget that he dragged
Big I know. My daddy. Some of the best stuff ever. I know. It's the evening out. Yeah, it's not, it definitely Tanaka. Yeah, there's no chance. Definitely Tanaka.
Yeah. All right. Another match that may titillate carry. We have a three-way six-man... is it six-man or a nine-man tag match? How does that work? I don't know, but we have three teams of three. Represent ECW, we have Super Crazy, who actually I read today, he was Super Loco for the initial WWF light heavyweight tournament. I didn't know he actually had a match back then, but he was still very new. Anyways, Super Crazy, Tajiri, and Little Guido versus Rey Mysterio, and WCW was the hard one here, because there was at least 10 guys to choose from, by one of Mysterio, Ultimo Dragon, and Billy Kidman, and WWF was really lacking, so I just went with Kai and Tai, because Funaki's awesome, Taka's awesome, and the other guy's name is Dick Togo. I mean, his name's Dick Togo. I don't know. I'm struggling to say where I go wrong with that. Obviously, I went with WCW. I mean, Rey Mysterio back then was the best at what he did. And Kidman and Ultimo were actually right there on that same playing field. Nobody else really... Tajiri, I guess, may have been in that group.
I was going to say, the only other person on there would have been Tajiri. And because the rest of them, you're right, like...
Taka was good, he just wasn't on their level. Right.
Yeah, but Tajiri and the those three guys, fantastic. The rest of them, eh. This would have been a tough match to watch because of, you know, Kai and Tai. Not that they're bad, it just,
I feel they would have been on the outside looking
at with the rest of that. Like, that, the WCW group just would dominate, so.
Yeah, I almost had Psychosis in there. And I switched him out for Kidman.
Yeah, oh, Kidman.
Because Kidman did get a win over Hogan.
Yeah, I was like, Kidman's the better choice.
Kerry, how many of those people do you actually know?
I know Taka.
You do know Taka.
Yeah.
And Mysterio.
And Mysterio. Both are working with New Japan. no, I think it's a good choice. I mean, WCW had an amazing cruiserweight division. So, yeah, that makes sense.
The other option I had for WWF was Taka and then Too Cool. Brian Christopher's guy.
Still Taylor, not winning.
I just thought Kai and Tai worked better.
Still not winning.
Yeah. Right. Okay. In the Battle of Dead Men, we have Mike Awesome versus Canyon versus Test. My God, would this have given me the biggest clue ever back in the day?
Wait, who's the WCW guy?
Obviously. Canyon.
Oh, Canyon. Okay. I didn't know he was dead.
Oh, Canyon's been dead for years. Yeah. I had Mike Awesome winning because I'd not to beat this dead horse, Kerry. I didn't mean to say dead horse. Yeah, I did. Mike Awesome was so far ahead of his time, and I really wanted to do a Mike Awesome versus Taker match, but I had to kind of Taker for something else. Mike Awesome, Masato Tanaka may have been one of the five greatest feuds of that era, quite frankly. Like, their series of matches is like this weird physical mix of wrestling, high flying spots, a little bit of hardcore. It's just a weird conglomeration of greatness. And Mike Awesome was incredibly underrated, and then he became the Fat Chick Thriller in WCW, and they killed his career. Yeah. Russ, your thoughts.
I forgot about the Fat Chick Thriller.
We all tried.
Oh, my God.
I almost made this a Judy Bagwell on a pole match, by the way.
Oh, man. Here's the problem. I'm surprised you didn't choose Test as the winner, just because it's Test.
I know, but honestly, think of those three guys.
Oh, yeah, Mike Awesome. Mike Awesome. Yeah, no. Test is... I liked Test, but he was garbage in the ring. Well, he wasn't garbage, but he was not Mike Awesome.
Right. Mike Awesome set the bar for big men. Anything below Undertaker, Mike Awesome was the bar, quite frankly. Kerry, I don't know how many of those people you even know.
I've heard the names. I've never seen. I mean, I know who Test is, obviously. But the other two, not really familiar with their in-ring work, but I'll jump on the bandwagon and go with you guys and say, yeah, that was a good choice.
I would compare Canyon to Edge.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, he's a lot like Edge.
Only a little more technical wrestler.
Okay.
Edge was a little taller and thinner. Canyon was a little shorter, fatter, a little thicker. Yeah. But he was also a little bit better of a technician. But similar styles. Both Edge had the downward spiral. I can't remember what the hell.
Wasn't it like the Canyon drop or something like that?
It might. I mean, Canyon also used to be Mortis, who feuded with Glacier. Right. So let's never forget that happened.
I don't know. All right. I don't know anything about that, so I'm guessing.
Oh,
I'm
ask Eric about Glacier. He will get really excited.
He loves Glacier.
Okay.
He does. My next match, in a match of just big guys, I had Rhino versus the Giant, which Big Show now, versus Kane. I had the Giant win because, I mean, he's by far held most accolades. And really, when he's on point, he is one of the most unstoppable forces. Rhino booked in ECW was great, but, I mean, it's Rhino versus Big Show versus Kane. Rhino's not winning that. And I don't know. Kane's just always been there. I feel Giant's actually a game changer. Kane, not as much. Kerry?
I'll have to agree with you. That was a good choice. I like it.
I understand what you're going with, but Giant had the more accolades, but they just threw him at him because he was a big guy. I would have still thought Kane was better overall. Kane just got screwed after screwed after screwed. But
if you think about it, though, if you think about like top five Kane matches versus top five Big Show matches, wouldn't you take the Big Show matches?
Kane had three.
Can you name many great Kane matches?
I can name three Kane matches that I enjoyed. Taker versus Kane.
I'm Big.
You
did enjoy that. You say you do, but go back and watch it. You don't. Trust me. No, they're really bad, actually.
Stone Cold versus Kane. It was all story. You're right. Actually, you know what? I'm thinking about it. You're right. There aren't that many more. Because Stone Cold versus Kane, I thought was really good.
First blood match
was really good, I thought. And there was one other match. And now I'm drawing a blank on it. Kane versus
Katie Vick?
I was about to say Triple H, but not pre Katie Vick.
Your Big Show actually had good matches with a lot of guys,
and some of the top guys too.
Hogan,
right. So, Luger. You're right. I guess.
And then the Brock Lesnar feud back with early Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar and Big Show had great matches.
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of hard to say. Kane's always been there, but he hasn't thrown that many great matches together. You're right. It's kind of tough. I'd have to go with Giant, I guess.
Okay. In a clusterfuck match of just wanting to get these three guys on the card. Stevie Richards versus Double J, Jeff Jarrett versus Goldust. I love Stevie Richards. During that era, probably the most underrated in-ring performer. He never got a chance to really truly shine in WWE, and when he finally got a push, he had that throat injury. Stevie was basically a young Shawn Michaels back in the day. Emulated his style, could go in the ring for a long time, had good charisma, but he was just Raven's lackey. That was one of the things I felt Paul did wrong with Stevie Richards. Jeff Jarrett's a former world champion multiple time. Also lost to David Arquette, though. And Goldust, he's been around for fucking ever, but he was really important in the Attitude Era. I don't know. This is really, like, the weirdest matchup I had. So, I don't know. Russ, thought?
I would have gone with Jeff Jarrett. I love Stevie Richards, but his character was not good. Like, Jeff Jarrett was, like, more of a complete package, I felt. His character was great. His healing was fantastic. His matches were decent. I don't think he ever had like outstanding like holy shit Jeff Jarrett match. You know what I mean? But he always had consistently good matches.
He was a consistent upper carder, and truth be told, I basically gave Stevie this win because it evened out how everything tied up at the end. So,
gotcha. Okay, yeah.
Yep, I went 50-50-50 booking right here, just like today.
So far, I like it, though.
Okay, Carrie?
I mean, I'm not quite familiar with Stevie Richards at all. I mean, I don't really watch wrestling during that time, but... Okay.
I've been doing this a lot to Carrie today.
I know.
Like she does to us, though, with Carrie's Corner.
Actually, I kind of just ignore you guys during Carrie's Corner because I know you'll distract me.
I just shake my head. That's what I'm doing. I'm just shaking my head. No.
Damn right. All right. Here's another weird match. I have like three weird matches in a row.
You're really, I know it's Memphamania, but you're really making WrestleMania this out. There's a lot of matches here.
Don't give a fuck. It's my pay-per-view. Tommy Dreamer versus Lex Luger versus Owen Hart. This is a match we would never, ever see because none of those three guys sound like they'd be great in the ring together. And I was like, well, what would happen? I gave it to Lex Luger. Luger was a seriously underrated performer in WCW era. He had the torture rack. I know the neckbeards of the world are probably mad that I didn't go with Owen. Luger was really freaking good and underrated and possibly killed Miss Elizabeth. Carrie?
I feel like I've said this a lot during this pay-per-view, but I mean, I'm familiar with a few of those names, but I like it. It works for me. This would be a pay-per-view, honestly, up to this point where I would just feel like I'm learning so much.
Russ?
All right. Who'd you say won? Lex, right?
I had Lex over Dreamer and Owen, and it's...
All right, here's the problem. All three of them are great in the ring, but I hated Owen. Hated Owen until he died, and then I felt bad. I would have said Tommy Dreamer.
You have had Dreamer over
those
two guys?
Yeah.
Wow.
Here's my reasoning. Okay. I just enjoyed his matches so much more than the other two. Lex's my problem is he's just too always going for he's strong and always using the strong powered moves. Kind of two dimensional. He was really good at what he did. I like Tommy Dreamer's matches. Like his matches were a lot of fun. So I understand where you went with it. I just would have chose Tommy Dreamer.
I mean, it's three completely different styles. That was the big
reason. Yeah, that's
for that
the tough
match.
Part. And I keep on thinking like, okay, whose matches did I enjoy the most? I hated Owens. I never liked any of his matches. Tommy's I loved, and Lex's, they were just like, there. I was never a huge power move fan at that time.
Brett versus Owen, WrestleMania 10, one of the all-time great matches. Just tossing
that out
there.
Before my time, I know.
All right. A battle of semi-crazy guys. I have Sabu versus Macho Man versus Brian Pillman. And I really spent a lot of time thinking about who I would actually have win. But in the end, I had to go with Macho Man. He made a rap album. Those other two guys didn't make a rap album. Now, Brian Pillman did draw a gun on live TV, and Sabu was part of the barbed wire match against Terry Funk that will always be in my nightmares of brutal fucking matches. But, I mean, it's Macho Man. I mean, he's a legit former world champion in two organizations. And really, Macho Man is one of the top 20-25 wrestlers of all time. So that's where I went with that.
Definitely Russ? Macho Man. I like all these guys, but Macho Man would have been the clear winner.
It'd be a fun match, don't you think? Like, it would have gotten a little crazy?
I think so. I think that would have been a lot of fun. It wouldn't have gotten Terry Funk Sabu crazy, but it would have been fun. Yes, I agree.
Pillman and Sabu, I think, would just beat the shit out of each
and
other.
Macho Man
would have
gotten the win by, like, after those two did something crazy, Macho Man would come in with a swing and save and win. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I kind of imagine it. Carrie?
Yay, a match where I actually know all three individuals.
Yay!
No, Macho Man is the correct choice. This match, I would enjoy watching so much. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Here is the technicians match of the night. Oh, there's actually a few of them, but this is probably the most technical one. We have Jerry Lynn versus Bret Hart versus Kurt Angle. I had Jerry Lynn winning because Bret was not doing so great in good half chunk of the Attitude Era, and Kurt Angle was still very new. Although great, he was at the very tail end. Jerry Lynn performed like a son of a bitch during that whole era, putting on match of the year with RVD. I kind of looked at this as a way of just kind of a showcase for everybody, and I don't know, I just want Jerry Lynn to win. I felt he deserved it. And he's also going to be a ref for All In. Just learned that. So, Kerry, I know you know at least two of those guys.
Actually, I know all three of those names. So I'm getting better here. No, I think Jerry Lynn's the right choice. I've been watching a couple ECW things with Eric on the network, and that name came up a bit, and then I watched highlights from that RVD Jerry Lynn match, and yeah, that's the correct choice. I think it's another match that I would really like to watch.
Okay, Russ. Again, if this was outside of the Attitude Era, Kurt Angle all the way. But,
well, can you say that over Bret? Yeah, it's not so easy because Kurt had better after the Attitude Era. Bret way had better way better before. It.
That's tough. In the Attitude Era, Jerry Lynch a choice. There's no, not even close. I mean, okay, yeah, it would be close because Kurt Angle was great in the beginning, but he was so at the end of the Attitude Era, it didn't really.
I would say this would be the second best match of the night. I have a better match coming up, though.
How many more matches do you have?
Six.
Shit, okay. All right.
We're almost done. Next up, Battle of People on the Mic. Raven versus DDP versus The Rock. Obviously, The Rock won, but I was imagining the promos between all three, and I thought to myself, my God, Raven's unique ability on the mic versus The Rock. And then DDP always had like a unique way of talking on the mic. Plus, they were all really above average in ring. I feel the promo would be better than the match. But, I mean, Rock had to kind of win that, I felt. Russ? That mute button.
Oh, I turned it on, actually. I pushed it and it turned it on. That was stupid. I was just about to say, promo-wise, would have built the match up, because I'm assuming they would have done the promos first. That would have built the match up. I like it. And, of course, you have to choose. I don't see how the other two could beat The Rock. There's no way The Rock would have been beaten in this. So I like it. It was good. It would be a good, fun match.
Yeah, I think it'd be a fun, you know, 12-minute match. Doesn't need to be anything more than that. Kerry?
Yeah, I mean, Rock winning's kind of obvious, I mean, given his stature during that time period. But yeah, I have to kind of echo what you guys are saying. The promos for this are just going to be amazing. I would want to just watch that part. I wouldn't even want to watch the match. I just want to watch that part.
Fair. Yeah, I honestly, the promo would have been the selling point. All right, next up, I had a match of guys that were not afraid to fight in real life. Taz versus Goldberg versus Jericho. I had Jericho winning because that motherfucker has fought guys like Brock Lesnar and Goldberg in the backstage area and lived to survive and talk about it. You can make an argument for any of those three guys. It's just that Jericho had probably the best moveset, best stamina, best on the mic. He had a lot of things, and it was like right as he was entering his physical prime. Honestly, that was a really tough one for me to pick. Kerry?
Well, I mean, I love Jericho. Jericho's awesome. And I'm always good with that pick, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm good with the pick. I would have been good with any of those picks, though. I think that one.
It's a tough one, especially at that time period.
Like Jericho got better after 2000. He was still great before it, but he got better after 2000 because he knows how to redefine his character every time. Taz, I don't. In the Attitude Era, Taz was great, but.
ECW Taz was great. WWF Taz was great.
And the WCW guy, I'm not. Who was it? Oh, Goldberg. That's right. I'm not sure who it was.
Yeah, that little known guy.
Very little well known. See, I can't see him losing the match, I guess.
Yeah, this is kind of my middle finger
right,
to that.
But I like Chris Jericho, so I'm fine with it.
All right, here's probably the match of the night on all levels. RVD versus Eddie Guerrero versus Shawn fucking Michaels. At the time, RVD was arguably the best at that moment. I can't imagine this match going less than 30 minutes. I imagine plenty of ridiculous reversals, some of the best high-flying and technical. It's going to combine everything. And really, the promos wouldn't have been all that bad. RVD was never known for great promos, but Eddie and Shawn clearly were. I just feel overall this was actually probably the best match I had on the card.
Definitely the best match so far. Oh, man. I can go for any of those guys winning. So, RVD, yeah. I know much you had a hard-on for RVD back in the day.
You figure Shawn was injured a good chunk of this time.
Towards the end, though. In the beginning of the Attitude Era, he was really on top of things.
You can pick anybody. I mean, that's the cool thing about this match. You can argue with
I'm fine with your choice because it's your choice. I would have sat down and just enjoyed this match.
Carrie?
Yeah, that's an enjoyable match. I would just like to watch it. I wouldn't care who won or anything like that. I think it would just be fun to watch.
Yeah. I think it would have been really enjoyable. All right, Battle of the Icons. Sandman versus Sting versus Taker. You already know who wins it. Carrie, what do you think?
I'm assuming Taker wins it.
Way to ruin it, Carrie. I was going to make a joke. You ruined it.
The mania streak starts at one here.
But no, this would be great because we're finally getting that Undertaker Sting matchup we never got. And Sandman's a good add to that. So
he would have just been like the guy that got his ass kicked a lot, but he would have been fun at it, I feel.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I like all of this. This is good. I like it.
By no means a technical beauty, but this would be fun. The entrances alone make it worthwhile. My God.
The entrances may be longer than the match when you consider how long Sandman and Takers are. And Sting wasn't really that short of a...
The entrances alone would be amazing. Sting, Taker is something I've always wanted to see that we'll never see. So that would have been great. Epic-wise, this would have been just... The atmosphere would have made this match.
I think the crowd would have been insane for this. And I think, honestly, I think Sandman would have gotten a lot of cheers, too. Like, back in that era, Sandman was very popular. Nobody would have expected him to win, but I think he wouldn't have been, like, clearly number three in crowd reaction. I think everybody would have had really good crowd reaction there. All right. Probably the most obvious match on the card, Paul Heyman versus Bischoff versus Vince. And Vince won because he's the genetic jackhammer, because Paul was never a good wrestler, and Bischoff only knew fucking karate. So, gotta give it to the genetic jackhammer. Russ?
Genetic jackhammer all the way, or the corporate ministry leader, whatever you want to call him. Vince McMahon, clearly, is the best out of all three of those.
Andy kind of really won in real life.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. Carrie?
Yeah. There's really no other choice there.
The match would have been really terrible, isn't. But...
Oh,
the
God,
match
yes.
would have been all yeah. 2 minutes.
That would have been a lot of posturing but, yeah. from the guys, and then a quick 2 minute match, and that was it.
Some punches, a couple of clotheslines. Yeah, it would have been a thing of beauty. All right. Final main event match. And this is not without controversy because it has one person in that really doesn't belong. But it's my fucking pay-per-view, and I'm having it this way. CM Punk is representing ECW here because he had started wrestling in the Attitude Era, so technically he could have participated. Versus Hulk Hogan versus Stone Cold. I had Austin winning. I didn't put Punk over, but I still think Hogan was able to be in a match at that era. Obviously, he was still main eventing. He could still carry a match, and he wouldn't have had to do any carrying. He would have just been able to do his big spots, works the crowd, probably as a heel. I probably would have had Hollywood Hogan there. Punk and Austin would have done the vast majority of the work, and I feel the crowd reactions would have been very insane level here.
Well, except for Punk, because at that time he was an unknown, but...
Go suck off Seth Rollins here, Russ. Sell it down. Carrie, what do you think?
I always wanted to see Punk versus Austin. I always thought that that was a dream matchup that I knew I wanted to see, but I knew I would never get to see. So, yeah. Really, Hogan doesn't really need to be there. I would just like to see that matchup.
Hogan was the most logical choice for this main event spot. That was the how Hogan ended up there.
Your pinnacle stars, except for ECW. But he would CM Punk definitely would have.
I don't know what you're talking
CM
about,
Punk
Russ.
Definitely would have been the pinnacle star at ECW. So yes.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to cap it off, and that is my Memba Mania.
And then we could always say you Memba. I Memba Mania.
As long as it was.
You Memba?
Damn right. I had a tough choice between this gimmick or dead people versus alive people.
That would have been fun.
I was going to do like. Yeah, I had like this made this whole list of dead guys up.
I think we should revisit this or something similar when we have a lull. So all of July and August.
August?
So yeah. Just the maybe
whenever
once a month,
once a month when we don't have the pay-per-views.
Exactly.
Maybe we'll have to come up with something different though. We can't have this every single time, so because this is time consuming a little bit. All right. But I would say this about your overall pay-per-view. Lots of great matches. But my God, I would have been sitting my butt down for over 6 hours probably. So that would have been tough.
I would have divided it in half. I've had it on a Saturday and a Sunday because there's way too many matches.
Okay. No, that's a lot better. That's a little bit easier pill to swallow.
Yeah, that would work for me.
I think Saturday I would have capped it off with the Taker match, and then Sunday I would have capped it off
there
with the Austin match.
Because the Sunday one would have been the important one, like... All the teams are tied, and then WWE gets to squeeze out at the end.
Yeah, except they all.
Oh, even with
out.
The, that
Everybody
match.
Heads.
Okay.
Yeah. It was 6-6-6. All right.
I like it. I thought it was good.
I like it. I think for me, it would be both educational and fun to watch, because a lot of those names I didn't recognize. Again, as I said when we first kicked this thing off, I now know how you guys feel when I talk about my corner.
Yep.
All right, guys. So I think that closes out another week. Let's talk about what we're looking forward to next week. In our segment, I'm not finished with you yet. What I'm looking forward to really isn't next week so much, but... I'm looking forward to Dominion.
What?
Go Omega.
I would have never thought that. You shocked me.
How about you, Russ?
I look forward to... Okay, I'm going to be completely 100% honest. Ronda Rousey fucking up next week. How is she going to do it? Because this was awful.
And Kent.
Wow, you really took the one thing I wanted to say. I just wanted to say Rod on commentary, but okay, since I don't get to say that, I'll just go on with the continuation of the Baron and Corbin backstage silliness. But really, I am looking forward to if they
can't
put
wait.
Rod on commentary again. God damn it. All hands on deck
right.
for that.
Oh, boy.
All right, so guys, let's close out this week with our favorite game. Yes, listeners, it is time for Guess the Wrestler. The rules of Guess the Wrestler are very, very simple. Each week, one of us picks a wrestler. This week, it's my turn to pick a wrestler, and it's up to the other two to guess who that wrestler is using 9 questions and 2 guesses. The first 2 questions, I will give these guys for free. It is a current wrestler, and it is a male.
I get it. 9 questions, 2 answers. 9 deuce. I finally get it.
Wow.
Oh, sorry. All right. So,
our educational system has really let us down.
Certainly has. All right. What's their roster they're currently on?
Kind of floating.
Well, that makes it cutty. There's only one floater I could think of. Oh, no, there's a couple. Never mind.
Has this person wrestled for Japan within the past calendar year?
No.
No.
So, see, that
eliminated a lot of
your floaters.
Of those floaters right there. Now I'm not sure who it is.
That's why we get 9
right.
questions.
All right. Color of hair.
Not sure.
That doesn't help. That's not a fair question, then. I'm going to re-question if you're not sure about the color of the hair. All right, re-question, then. Any main major titles held?
Yes.
Which wrestling organization would myself or Russ know this gentleman from the most?
WWE and WCW.
So he's a current wrestler that floats.
And old as fuck.
I'd say he's fucking old, but it's not Jericho. Right? Jericho. Wait, did Jericho fight in Japan? Yes, in January. So it was this calendar year, so it's not Jericho.
Omega.
Yep. I was just making sure, because like, ooh, calendar year. Wait, that's 2018. Maybe she's trying to trick us. Yeah, but that was January, so it was 2018. All right. Oh, wow, this guy's still old, and he's floating around. You said it was easy, Kerry. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. All right, what's the single greatest title this person held?
Heavyweight Championship, WWE.
Okay, what? Wow. Who the hell's floating around? That's.
How long has this person been away from WWE?
Roughly 3 years.
Oh, man. Jeez. Is their gimmick, like, really well known to us? Like, we'd be like, oh, that's duh. How could I not see this?
Yes.
Has this person worked in TNA?
No.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's kind of...
I thought that was definitely going to be a yes, and I was still going to be in trouble, but now I feel in more trouble.
You know, I feel like it's going to be somebody who isn't wrestling because of other reasons. Like, they're not wrestling because of their other commitments, but they have something lined up. So that's why they're a floater, but they're current. Like, they're not... Okay, let's eliminate this right now, then. Maybe I'll help myself. Is this person a full-time wrestler, or do they have other obligations they can go to?
Full-time wrestler.
Because I was thinking Batista, maybe. Maybe he's got something lined up in New Japan or something like that. So, but that was my thought on that one. All right.
That's a good one. Does this person have tattoos?
Yes.
How many more questions we got? We got one more or two?
One.
Can I?
The fact she didn't know about the hair throwing me is too. What's...
Right, because I keep on going back. I have one person, I think it is.
Well, who do you think it is? Alberto wrestled TNA. Okay, that's how I eliminated him and
okay.
Morrison.
Morrison was my other one. Okay, but he never won the championship for WWE, so.
He did WWE ECW. So that technically could have counted, but both guys were in TNA. Which leaves Rock and Batista, who are both movie
guys.
Which
I've eliminated.
So I feel that, yes. And the whole not Japan... I mean, so if they're wrestling in America, it would seem Ring of Honor or Lucha seem to be the most logical places where this person could be. So maybe we find out.
Right, that's what I'm thinking too, but I can't. Who? Like, I'm trying to think who's won the WWE title that's not with.
I don't know.
What about
What about Mysterio?
Does this person wear a mask?
Yes.
Rey Mysterio.
Yes.
Booyaka, booyaka.
9. Good call on that last one. I was like, wait a minute, Rey Mysterio. Ooh, he is floating.
Well, that's also why I couldn't tell you what hair color
that's good.
He has.
Good point, because he has a mask on.
Yeah, because he's had the black hair and he's shaved
and
his
he's
head.
He's wearing a full mask. You're right. I'll give you that one. That was clear.
Yep. It's like, I can't say, well, because he wears a mask, because that would give away the answer.
I forgot about Mysterio, because I was just thinking he was WWE still again. That's why I was just like, oh, he's coming back, so I'm just waiting for him to come back.
Is he going to be like an all...
He's an all-in, right? That's why
he's an all-in.
That's why he's not in WWE.
He also has a... He's an all-in, and he also has a match at Dominion this weekend.
Ah. All right, that was a good one, Carrie.
It was the first match I announced.
Almost got us.
Well, thank you.
Almost got us.
Almost. Well, listeners, that closes things out for another week. Kent, any announcements?
I mean, do you want me to continue with the lies? No, I got nothing. If something happens, I'll talk about it next week. We'll go with that.
Sounds good. All right, listeners. So, before I sign off, I'm going to say one thing. If you like what you heard on today's podcast... Check us out on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and rate and subscribe. We really appreciate those things, like the feedback, like the subscriptions. So do that for us, and we'll really enjoy that. And for Russ, Kent, and myself, we wish you all a good night, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Bye, y'all.
Don't we have to like the Money in the Bank preview next week?
Yeah, we do.
Well, there's our plug. Next week, we bitch about a pay-per-view.
And I get to recap Dominion, and I'm going to be so excited to talk about that, hopefully.
I'm just going to make fun of Seth's pants.
So it's every week.